Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Dancing. Nothing is better than you.
Praise you, Lord. Glory.
You
Glory.
Turn graves into gardens.
Yes.
You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares.
Praise you, Lord.
You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones yes. into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. You're the
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you may be seated. Thank you, folks. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Yeah, I don't understand some of you. I don't. To me, this whole thing, this spiritual life is all out. Full out. I've come to know the one who can turn graves into gardens. Hallelujah. Those who would call me a fool are fools themselves. A fool says in his heart there is no God. Those who know him, I mean really know him, cannot keep quiet. If you're able to sit on your spirituality, you don't have it. I'm sorry. It's true. We might as well acknowledge it and work to get over it. But if you can set on the knowledge that Jesus, the Son of the living God, has come and taken residence in your life, and it doesn't move you, you're dead. You don't have to worry about dying someday. You're already dead. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about something that's absolutely impossible. Impossible. We're, through these months, the Holy Spirit has put us on a track to talk about salvation. And we began that by talking about creation. And then we talked about the attributes and the reality of who God is. And that he is not just a God sitting up there waiting to lower the boom on us, but he's a God who cares. He's a God who loves. He's the God who sent his Son into this world. And we spent some time talking about Jesus, about his redemptive power, about his desire over our lives. We've moved now into this section of talking about how we respond to what God has done. We began a couple of Sundays ago about confession, of confessing to the Lord our need for him. It's an absolute. I've had several people say that the message impacted them. It should impact us. And not all positive, folks. I think there's a place. I know that there is a place. And I understand this doesn't bode well with a lot of the theology that's being cast out there today. But you see, my Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. There should be inside of us an overwhelming, overweening concern that the sin of our life would keep us from being in the presence of God. I'm fearful today that we have become too accustomed to sin. and all of the excuses that go along with it. Because when the reality of sin and the separation that that sin brings between us and a holy God, when the overwhelming reality of that hits us, fear rises, trepidation rises, concern rises, and prayerfully, confession rises. We're going to take a second step this morning. And that is where confession actually moves us to repentance. I might as well start with this. There was three little boys that came to confession. The first ended by saying, "I threw peanuts in the river." And he was scolded for wasting food. The second boy came in and admitted that he too had thrown peanuts into the river. Likewise, the priest scolded him for throwing and being wasteful. The priest, wanting to show that he was aware of little boys and what was going on in the neighborhood, asked the third little boy, "Didn't you throw peanuts in the river?" And the boy replied, "No, I'm peanuts." That's about all the levity you're going to get today. Because as we begin to talk about the confession of surrender, which is repentance, it's as heavy gets. Because we're talking about not just admitting that there is sin in our lives, but that that sin needs to end. I said that sin needs to end. Our text this morning is Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse number 19. Peter proclaims, "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." Lord, I know we cannot get to the truth of your word and of this subject without the help of your Holy Spirit. Our desperate need in our humanity calls for our self-justification, or if we want to call it, excuses. But I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would take us to truth. For at least these moments that we have together here in this sanctuary, that we would acknowledge your truth, your life-changing, refreshing truth. In Jesus' name. "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." It is often talked about and has been practiced in the many refreshings and revivals that our Lord has brought even to our own country and to the world. We call them revivals. Great sovereign moves of the Spirit of God that change not only individual hearts, but entire communities. I closed the day yesterday reading of many accounts from 1750 to 1830 of the outpourings of the Holy Spirit. That particular span of time in revivalism was very unique in that it prevailed through the Presbyterian Church, through universities like Yale, where the Spirit of God moved in a sovereign way and called individuals out to a place of prayer that they had never experienced before. Not minutes, not hours, but days of prayer. And as that season of prayer began to envelop, there were not a lot of externals that were witnessed. Actually, they were pretty much squelched. There was not a lot of shouting. When the revival later moved to Kentucky, they held open-air meetings and massive, a man by R.H. Boyd preached out in the woods, out in the fields, and people came from the towns and filtered in. And that's where the whole brush arbor, you probably heard that, some of you, that expression, brush arbor, that came from those days in that revival, late 1700s, early 1800s. One distinctive, I should say, during that revival, the Kentucky revival, there were many more manifestations, physical, outward manifestations, if you will, of the revival taking place, in that people were slain in the spirit, people ran, people danced, people shouted. But in the East Coast portion of that, it didn't exist. But can I tell you one thing that existed in both places? The demonstrative and the subdued. As the Spirit of God began to move, the call came from God's Spirit to repent. Now, folk, that's not just confession of the reality of sin. That is a beginning point for us. For us to acknowledge that there is sin in our lives. For us to acknowledge that there exists inside of us something that is not pleasing to God. That's the beginning point. But that must lead to the next place, and that place is repentance. There is a responsibility that the Word of God gives us to repentance. Ezekiel 18:31 says, rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Ezekiel was speaking not only to the people of his day, but he was speaking prophetically, knowing that God was going to send the adequate sacrifice that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. Hosea, also speaking prophetically, said, take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. You see, we can't really offer praise. We don't feel the urgency to offer praise if there is sin still in our lives. Sin separates us from our God, according to the Word. Isaiah proclaims it, and you and I know that it's true. When we harbor sin in our lives, when we maintain it, put it into a little closet or stuck away someplace so that nobody else knows that it's going on, but we know that it's there, it hinders our praise. Because every time we come into his presence, every time we come in and would offer him praise, the closet door breaks open, shines out to us. There it is. Matthew 3:2. John the Baptist went about preaching it. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you realize how relevant that phrase is for our day? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You may say, oh, Pastor, I've heard that for my whole life. I've heard it forever. Everybody, every preacher has been saying it. They've been saying it loud. They've been saying it soft. They've been saying it and saying it, saying it. Yes, and we're just that much closer today than the echoes of all of their words of the past. What if he comes today? What's between you and your God? You say, well, precious blood of Jesus covers over me. Yes, I agree. By his incredible grace, I am free. Yes. The only one who can make you bound is you. Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. And many people kind of use that as an excuse. But the reality is, if you know the Lord Jesus, if you've accepted him into your life, there is nothing better than Jesus. There is no one more powerful than Jesus. I say it again, the only one who can lead you and keep you in bondage is you. And the reality of that is that Jesus has promised to set us free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed, unless we refuse to be free. I offer you this morning, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the simplicity of your and my repentance, that we can be set free from sin. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, I tell you, no, unless you repent, you too will all perish. They were talking about the people were caught up with the catastrophes that had happened in their world. A tower fell here, and this happened over here. These many people had been killed. And they had their eyes on that, and they were thinking, oh, how terrible that is. And it is terrible. The things that are happening in our world are terrible. But Jesus' response was, I tell you, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. This is a life and death issue. And even as believers, it is a life and death issue. You say, oh, you mean I won't make it to heaven? Only the Lord can judge those things. But I can tell you this, you cannot walk in the liberty of the Lord and have sin in your closet. Even to the point where you say, well, I confess it to the Lord. That's grand that you are admitting that that sin is present. But if that sin is still there, if you have not turned away from it through repentance, it is still weighing you down. The apostle writes, let us lay aside the weight that so easily besets us and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Why? Because he is our deliverer. He is our strength. He is our hope in the midst of sin in our lives. You and I cannot rid ourselves of sin. But we can confess it. And we can say, I do not own it anymore. It does not have a place in my life any longer. You see, sin needs to be rejected by those who are concerned about the things of God. I said sin needs to be rejected. I said sin needs to be rejected. I can wait on you. You want to be out of here at a certain time. I can wait. I have nothing else to do of importance today but to be here with you. Sin needs to be rejected. You see, repentance, that word repent in the Bible, it's found 9 times in Luke, 5 times in Acts, and 12 times in the book of Revelation. It means to perceive afterwards, to change your mind to the seat of moral reflection. It involves change, always for the better. Getting that sin out of your life, which may feel like, may seem like, because your flesh and the enemy are telling you it's impossible. It may seem to you to be impossible. It may seem to you, you may say, I have fought with this thing my whole life. Great. Isn't it time now to be free? You've had it long enough. It has separated between you and your God long enough. It has hindered your praise long enough. It has hindered your prayers long enough. My point earlier, that when true revival comes, people are down on their knees praying. Not for moments, not for hours, but for days. They are praying and seeking God. And the next thing that happens is repentance. They begin to call out everything, every certain thing that is in their life gets in the way of them worshiping the Lord. And they want to get it out of the way. And the glory of the Lord follows in behind prayer and repentance. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and what? And turn from their wicked ways, then will they hear from heaven. I will heal their land. You see, as you and I are praying, if you're praying, over your nation, over the things that are happening in this world, this needs to be part of it. And not praying this just for the world. Lord, God, help them to repent of their sins. No, he says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his people. Why is that? It is because power flows, church. When you and I get the sin out of our lives. When we say, I no longer am going to walk under the bondage of that sin that has beset me, has slowed me down, has weighted me down. I'm going to walk in the liberty of the Lord Jesus. And then all of a sudden, heaven begins to open up. And things begin to happen. Come on. Come on. Begin to realize that young and old in this room. You know, I will acknowledge with our young people that are around, you know, there are a lot of Christians that are playing the Christian game. And if you're not careful, you can watch it and you can be disillusioned. You can say, oh my goodness, this is a bunch of junk. Look at them. They come into church on Sunday, they lift up their hand, they sing these songs, they listen to the preacher preach, and they go out and they live like the rest of the world. Our hypocrisy is killing the church. It's time that we realize that if he has called us out of darkness into his glorious light, that means that the sin that is in our lives is illuminated by the light of his glory and his word. And we're saying, it cannot be in my life. We're in the midst of the struggle. We confess it. We confess it to one another. We acknowledge the reality of it in our lives and say, it cannot be. You've got to pray with me. Brother, sister, you've got to pray with me because this thing is in my life and I need God to deliver me from it. And I need to hate it enough to let him. What does Isaiah says? Wash, make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight, God says. Stop doing wrong. John 8. What a precious passage. A woman is brought to Jesus, caught in the act of adultery. Those around her are standing in the rule of the law. Let us stone her. Jesus bends down and begins to write in the dirt. And he just simply looks up them and says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And he kneels back down and begins to write in the dirt. And one by one, beginning with the elders, they begin to walk away. Because their own sin, illuminated by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in his life, begins to shine out in them. And they realize their own sin. To cast a stone at her would be casting a stone at themselves. He looks up in a few moments and all of them are gone. He says, where are your accusers? She said, they're gone. And these are the words of Jesus. Then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He doesn't say, I forgive you. I forgive you for what you have done in your past. And I understand that everything is really tough in your life. And I understand that you're doing your best. And honey, I think a lot of you, and everybody carries around sin inside them. And so now you go on and you know, I'll be thinking of you. No. He said, I'm not here to condemn you, but go and sin no more. The other translation says, leave your life of sin. Church, this morning we need to understand the power of confession is found in the repentance. Not just in the acknowledging that sin is present, but in saying, God, I want it in me no longer. Because this thing separates me from you. It steals the refreshing. It steals the peace that you promised. It takes away the joy that can be my strength. And I want it no longer in my life. Therefore, Paul says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. He says, come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. I tell you the truth this morning. It was predicted. Paul told Timothy that it was coming, that in the last days there would be teachers who would be preaching and teaching what our itching ears want to hear. What do those itching ears want to hear? That I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. When the reality is there is sin. There is sin in our lives that needs to be confessed and repented of, that is turned away from. It will cause you to cry out for the Lord's help. I am not saying to you this morning, I am not preaching to you this morning that this is an easy thing. Because many of these sins, these habits, these things that we have put in the closets of our lives, these are things that we have been accustomed to maintaining even as we have had a spiritual life. But it is destroying the church. You were taught, Paul says this, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to put on a new life in Christ Jesus. Paul said it. It's still true today. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That doesn't stop there. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Let me describe to you, if I could please, for just a moment to conclude this message. The repentant heart. It is contrite. That word contrite means to bruise, to break, crushed, smitten. You see, folks, our sin should grieve us. Our rebellion against a holy God, not just the acknowledgement of it, not just saying, yes, it's in my life, not just the awareness of it, but there should be a brokenness, a crushing, a ruining, if you will. And can I say, if that's not present, over the sin that you and I are holding in our lives, if we are not crushed because of it, if we're not broken because of it, we will never want it out of our lives. You may even be saying, but this is the one thing that I have that I enjoy. This has been so much a part of me. It's been a part of my family. This is the nature of our family. If I were to lose this thing, I would no longer have my identity with my family. Which family? Contrite. A broken and contrite spirit I will not despise, saith the Lord. That is, I will not turn away from. Psalm 34. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 51. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Contrite, broken, broken, sorrowful, grief, sorrow, heaviness. Do you know in that revival that I was telling you about earlier, particularly the one on the East Coast, they would not allow a person to proclaim that they were saved or a believer for 3 days after their initial confession. This was in an incredible move of God that literally stopped towns. Yale University shut down classes because of the move of God was so strong. The prayer meetings overtook the classroom. Lives were incredibly changed. But they would not allow a person to proclaim that they were saved for 3 days, because they had to display a changed life. Isn't that something? See, man, that's a lot to put on somebody. But they had to literally become what the Word of God said. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. You know how it was identified? By somebody that knew them. Someone else identified the change in their life. You could say, well, that was unfair. Jesus is the one who saves. No, you see, they believed so strongly in the departure from sin and getting it all away that they actually let people just weep and wail and be sorrowful for hours as they poured out their soul before the Lord, until they owned every sin that they had committed in their life and left it before the Lord, and he took it and he washed it clean. And they said, I don't want it. I don't need it anymore in my life. And they were so changed that other people could give witness to the change in their life. Now that's witnessing. Huh? You know, when you begin to talk to somebody about Jesus and they're like, what? Oh, you're a Christian? I didn't know that. Huh? That should preach. Not from here, but right there in your life. Because if you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, you should be different than the old creations that are walking around you. That's not judgment against them. It's an indictment for you and I if we accept the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's either God or he's not. He either came to forgive us of our sins or he didn't. And if he did, then you and I have the opportunity to confess our sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not to make a way for us to be able to continue in that sin just with his presence. So we have a contrite, sorrowful. Oh, I didn't give you the scripture for that. 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. The last one is humble. There's a humility that comes with this. One of the distinctions of that grand revival period was the fact that these men and women who preached and went about were broken individuals themselves. They did not elevate themselves, but rather they owned their own sin. I would have that to be me. The enemy and I, my flesh and my spirit, war. War. Because I want Jesus to reign. I don't preach to you this morning as one who has arrived in this, but of one who recognizes it and says, come along with me. Let's do battle. Let's do battle for the liberty of our souls. Let's do battle for the church of the Lord Jesus. Let's do battle. And not against, we don't wrestle against others, flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Against wickedness in high places that would war against the Spirit of God in our lives. When the Spirit of the Lord says, rise and give me praise, the spirit of the enemy that is influencing us, the spirit of our flesh that is prevailing in us, says, you're tired, sit there. Don't lift your hands. Don't sing the song. Don't praise. You're too tired. You're hurting too much. You're too this and that. I invite you this morning to hear the call of the Spirit of the Lord. Is there sin in your life? Is there sin that you have been holding on to, tucked away? No one else knows about it. Wouldn't it be something this morning if he would have told us, now what you need to do is you need to get up in front of everybody and confess the sin? Whew. That'd be a fun hour, wouldn't it? Huh? Especially for those that have trouble with gossip. Could you slow down a little bit? I need to be able to take this out of here. Get it right. Aren't you tired? How many know what I'm talking about this morning? You understand this message. How many do? Because, see, I don't want to be over your heads. I want to be right where you're at. I wonder how many in this room would say, I've not been warring with the sin in my life as I should be. I've been confessing because I have knowledge of it, but I've not been repenting, demanding that it be out of my life. And I realize that the Lord has spoken and is speaking, that is, repent and be baptized, so that the refreshing of the Lord can come. that is you this morning and you know that you need a change. And you would like to draw the line today. I need the change. I want it today. I'd like for you to join me here at this altar. Takes courage, doesn't it? And I don't want to be the first. Will it be easier to walk out of here? We'll give you that opportunity in just a moment. Or you can come and say, you know what? There's stuff that needs to be gone from my life. Now, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I welcome you to come. We would love to pray with you. But I'm talking this morning to believers, even as Paul was, and Peter was, and James was, for the purity of the church. Jesus said, I'm coming back for a glorious church. What? What? Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's coming back for a church that is intolerant of sin. Not one who has embraced the sin. Would it be easier if I said, stand with me? Let's stand. We can even play the every eye closed game if you would like. Because we're really not trying to embarrass anyone. But you know what? The hour that we're living in, the day that we're living in, is calling for some people who are not afraid to say, I need Jesus more than I need the stuff in my life. I need Jesus more than I need my pride. Contrite, sorrowful, humble repentance. I invite you today. If you need to do some business with the Lord, I invite you just to step out and come and find a place at this altar. Don't pray what you don't mean. Give God a chance today. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You see, here's the truth, folks that are still standing here. You see, it's not about watching these folks to come. It's what's going on in your life. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that you grant us this opportunity, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you bring truth to us, and it stands as a measure to our lives. I confess to you as I confess to them that I am not the yardstick. Your word is. You said we could be free. But we have to want to be free. The only one who can keep us in bondage is our own will. I pray today that your Holy Spirit would deal with every heart, those who have come to this altar, those who have not. Deal with our heart. Swing open the door of that closet that we have fixed and decorated in our lives, that one that nobody else knows is there. Swing open the door, God, and show us the ugliness of the sin that separates us from you. The thing that keeps us from walking in the liberty and power and health sometimes. And Lord, may we truly confess and repent it today. Through the help of your love and grand mercy. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folk, our service is ended. You can slip out as you will. There's not going to be a formal dismissal this morning, but God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. We love you.